Good afternoon and welcome to Weekly Sedition, the show dedicated to dissent and alternative lifestyles. This is Contra, your host this and every Tuesday at noon, right here on 97.3 WRIR. It's Richmond Independent Radio. Radio for the rest of us. Today's show is dedicated to anyone who has ever rolled their eyes when they were warned by some radical leftist or libertarian about the coming police state. It's here, folks, and we're going to do a case study today straight from the Republican National Convention. Both federal and local law enforcement there have turned St. Paul and Minneapolis into a chapter from Orwell's 1984. We're going to be hearing audio taken on-site and talking to a prominent activist working in the area. Still think we live in a free country? You may not after this particular show. Stay tuned, it's all coming up on Weekly Sedition. I hope you don't turn your radio off immediately when I tell you that this show centers around the Republican National Convention. But don't worry, we're not going to be boring you with stories of what celebrity endorsed who and what multi-billion dollar multinational corporations are contributing how much to which candidates' coffers. No, as you might expect from Weekly Sedition, we're going to be focusing on the dissenters, those who showed up in the Twin Cities this past weekend to express to the Republicans their disgust with the war, with corporate politics, and with everything represented by the convention.
We knew that when the Republicans announced that they were coming here, that they would be bringing their police state measures with them. It's of great concern to me that, first of all, their politics, of course, are dead wrong. But beyond that, we were very concerned about standing up for people's ability to exercise their free speech and to operate unmolested by law enforcement.
This is Michelle Gross, who's part of an organization called Communities United Against Police Brutality.
We have a few different roles, but one of the main roles that we play is to be cop watchers. We have a whole cop watch program that's very active, and we, with a large number of people, we've trained to be cop watchers. And we've been out at, just about every situation with these raids and, things that have happened where we've been able to document, I think, in very important ways what has happened, here in the Twin Cities. And I have to tell you, as a very seasoned activist, I've been an activist for 35 years, who has traveled the country, by the way, and, have been actually internationally, I have never seen the level of oppression that I've seen here this week so far. It is just appalling. And so I'm glad that we're out there documenting this, because I think there's something truly historic about it and truly sadly historic about it. Like I said, I think that in many ways our documentation is going to save people's lives.
So what's all this talk about raids and the potential of saving people's lives by watching cops? Well, Friday night I happened to take a look at CNN Online. Please don't take that as an endorsement. And noticed a story that led to this radio show. The headline was, "Cops Raid RNC Protesters' Headquarters." The story didn't really explain what happened well, as is typically the case with pop media, so I contacted Michelle, who was present at the raid, which turned out to be only the first of many raids not covered by mainstream press. I asked her to describe what happened that night as she met with others who were in town for the protests.
We were coming to sit down to have a meeting and finalize some of our coordination of how we're working together. And, I was waiting for other people to get to the meeting. We were a couple minutes late, but it turned out we were the first to arrive because the St. Paul police had shut down virtually every exit to St. Paul. You could not get into St. Paul without going a big, long way out of your way. It was really weird. You know, they had just shut down all of access to St. Paul, which was very strange. And it was not, I mean, we were thinking this is Friday night. It's not even, hasn't even started yet. What's going on here?
Before we get to the raid, let me note that this shutdown of public roads was the first but would not be the last time the police were scavenging the roadways during the weekend for anyone who looked like they might be in town for protest-related activities. They didn't actually manage to stop any vehicles except those dangerous radicals who were driving, wait for it, a permaculture bus.
We are a traveling teaching tour. We travel around and teach people about permaculture. You know, how to grow things, how to create closed-loop systems. And they pulled us over on a routine traffic stop. They wouldn't tell us what the purpose of the routine traffic stop was. They then said that they were going to impound the bus to execute a warrant on it later. And then they said they were impounding the bus to do a commercial vehicle inspection on it. We explained that in the state of Montana, it's not a commercial vehicle. It's registered as a passenger vehicle in the state, legally registered and licensed. And they said, well, because I'm really unclear about how they defined it as a commercial vehicle.
There was two of them already parked, a third one pulling us over, and then very quickly Minneapolis police, University of Minnesota police, and St. Paul police arrived at the scene. I asked if I was being detained, and they said yes. I asked why I was being detained, and they said, we'll tell you later. They had me step and lean against the cop car and put me in handcuffs. They threw me in the back of the squad car.
Luckily, Cop Watch and other activist groups had put in place an excellent communications network for the weekend, and within minutes, a legal observer from the National Lawyers Guild was on the scene.
I know that this bus has a lot of people on it that live on the bus, and they're being detained on this exit, Vandalia Crete exit, going east in St. Paul. I know that I've been told by the state patrol that it was the Minneapolis police that stopped the bus. And I asked for the basis of the traffic stop, and they said I would have to call Minneapolis Police Department to find out the basis of the stop. So I inquired a little more. I said, so it seems kind of strange the Minneapolis police would actually stop someone in St. Paul. I said, you know, who is somebody else involved here, like Department of Homeland Security? And they said, well, we're all kind of working together here.
We came to the RNC because this isn't a great opportunity when we're protesting the way things are to show people the way things could be. To show people a different way, that we don't have to live with this idea that there's not enough. And really, we live in a world that if we started thinking about how we lived, we could live in a world of abundance instead of a world of shortages.
17-year-old girl is homeless because you just stole her house. You guys should be ashamed. You guys are not protecting and serving by doing these things.
But enough with the police state tactics of illegal confiscations. Let's get back to the police state tactics of armed breaking and entering at the convergence space Friday night.
So when we were trying to get to the convergence space, we finally figured out how to get there, parked the car, and went in. And we were walking around. It was very funny. You know, I know many of the people that were there. And, you know, we were just talking to people and you know, you know, it's just a big room, a beautiful big space that had chairs and tables, and people were meeting in small groups, just chatting and, you know, hanging out, playing games on the computer, laughing. You know, people were in the kitchen cleaning. Actually, they were cleaning up the kitchen, and we laughed because one guy dropped a tray full of dishes, and, you know, it's not like we're in a restaurant when they all break the dishes, you know. So it was, we were just hanging out, laughing and whatnot. And then we were sitting down, and I was sitting there having a snack, when all of a sudden these you hear the door boom like this, and then you hear these cops come rushing in. And actually it was Ramsey County Sheriff's Department people came rushing in with their guns. You know, they were waving their guns, you know, had their hands out in front of them with their guns, and they were pointing them here, pointing them there, you know, at people's heads, and saying, get on the ground, get on the ground. And I thought really quickly, I'm still questioning how I came up with this, but I thought really quickly and whipped my video camera out of my purse and quickly opened it and turned it on. And then had to drop to the ground, but the whole time I was videotaping. I got 7.5 minutes of the beginning of the raid on videotape, which I think will turn out to be good for people later. You know, they came in, they put us all to the floor. They ran around, you know, like I said, pointing guns at people. It was just, you know, quite frightening. They were very aggressive. And, you know, I'm laying on the floor and so forth. All of us are laying on the floor, and they're coming around, and they cuffed us all. You know, I kept saying, you know, I want to see a warrant. You know, where's the warrant? They wouldn't show anyone a warrant. They kept saying they were executing a warrant, but they wouldn't show it to anyone. It was about 36 to 40 people on the ground floor, and about another 20 upstairs in the movie theater because they were having family movie night. And there was a bunch of families with children up there. And they were waving guns in their faces, too, by the way.
We were watching a movie, and the police stormed in with their guns drawn, broke down the door. I was upstairs, had us lay on our stomachs. We're all peaceful. Why did they break in? Because we were all congregated, trying to gain power together, you know, people to people. They had a search warrant, very long. I think it was for Molotov cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't find any.
What did they find?
A lot of people that were very willing to talk to them.
But Molotov cocktails were only the first item in a very, very long list of items on the search warrant.
Computers, any and all emails, all the emails that have been deleted, you know, the hard drives, any documents, any electronic transmissions, any incendiary devices, any banner-making tools or devices. You know, that's banner-making things. This is First Amendment stuff. It was unbelievable. I mean, the list was incredibly long. And I was seeing them at the point that they let me out. They hadn't started removing things from the space yet. They removed things as I was outside. So I watched them remove things. And what they took was, they took basically, they took bundles of literature. They took a couple of buckets. And they took a couple of computers. That was it. I mean, they didn't really take much of anything. They didn't find anything, for one thing. You know, and they took some banner-making materials, and they took two maps off the wall and took them. And if there was a couple posters that said, you know, it was like anti-police brutality posters, and they were offended by them, so they took them as well. You know, it was all clearly political.
The police department, meanwhile, having seized constitutionally protected print material, had sent outlandish press releases to the mainstream media, who ran the information without question, as they always do. Take a listen to this press release and the reaction of activists upon hearing it.
This is what the Ramsey County Sheriff's Office emailed to all of the mainstream press. Search warrant executed on known criminal anarchist. August 29, 2008, at 9:15 p.m., the Ramsey County Sheriff's Office, assisted by the St. Paul Police Department, executed a search warrant at 627 Smith Avenue South. Numerous items were recovered. Ramsey County Sheriff Bob Fletcher stated, quote, "This investigation pertains to actions of the RNC Welcoming Committee. The Welcoming Committee is a criminal enterprise made up of 35 self-described anarchists who are intent on committing criminal acts before and during the Republican National Convention. These acts include tactics to blockade and disable delegate buses, breaching venue security and injuring police officers. They have recruited assistance in their criminal conspiracy from other anarchist groups throughout the country."
So it was, you know, they detained us all. Then they separated us, moved us across the room, like men on one side, women on the other side. And then they brought us into the kitchen one at a time and basically did a sort of semi-strip search. You know, they raised up my bra, went underneath my bra. They ran all around inside my panties, which was, you know, degrading. And, you know, made you take your shoes off. And then, you know, of course, you're asking, do you have anything on you that I need to know about and all this crap, you know? And, of course, you know, everybody's got any sense of saying, you know, nothing. We demanded multiple times to see our lawyers. They wouldn't allow us to see lawyers or contact anyone. In the midst of all of that stuff, before when things first broke out, I was able to open my cell phone and just hit a redial number for other legal observers, and she was able to hear what was happening and call other people, so we were luckily able to get some legal observers over there quickly. And we didn't know it, but they were all outside, amassing outside.
But legal observers were not the only ones amassing outside. Arriving anarchists and other activists who'd rushed to the site when word got out began to demonstrate to the police guarding the building that they would not be intimidated by this violence.
On street!
On street!
On street!
On street!
On street!
On street!
The other person with our organization, our vice president, was also in the space with me. And he was detained for more than 2 hours after I was let out. And so they were letting these people out like one or two of us at a time. And we ended up with tons of people outside the convergence space. I mean, every time somebody was released, people were clapping and things like that. It was just a circus, a real nightmare. And then, I mean, it was great to have the support that people are out there, but the whole thing was a nightmare.
Michelle had assumed the nightmare was over at this point, but she would soon find out that the repression would follow her, even to her own home.
This other activist and I share a home, and when we got back to our home, we found that they had broken into our garage. Nothing of value was stolen, and we have, you know, bicycles, other athletic equipment that's valuable. Nothing of value was stolen, but all of our boxes of documents and things had been opened and gone through. And so they also jimmied open a door of one of our cars and went through all of our glove box, you know, the glove box, the trunk, and things like that. And so it was, you know, pretty disgusting that this had been going on. We think that what happened was, the reason they detained him so long is so that they could come to the house and do that.
Disgusting is putting it lightly. We're talking out-and-out illegal break-ins by secret police. This is fascism, folks, nearly Orwellian in its scope. Mussolini would be proud. But as it turned out, these were only the first of several political attacks by police on people who had come out to demonstrate against the RNC.
All of the raids that happened, they all happened in rapid succession. There were four raids altogether, and then two snatch and grabs, is what I call them, where the cops literally drove up on an activist in a car. You know, in one case, this woman was walking back to her car after a meeting. They zoomed up on her and snatched her into the car and kidnapped her. So we had two snatch and grabs where they grabbed people off the street, literally kidnapping them. And we had four situations where they showed up at people's homes.
Here is the father of one activist who was arrested in her own home, talking about the items listed on the search warrant that landed her in jail.
Maps and charts, any notes, computers, all electronic equipment, of any sort, electronic media such as CDs and recordings or anything like that, that, you know, might be from a computer or whatever. Just construction materials that listed, one line just said hammers and nails. Another line said urine and feces. So it was pretty much a search warrant for everything. I mean, they were at that point loading up things from the garage, plus some things they were taking out of the house. They had all the cans of paint from the garage, each carefully labeled. A whole stack of old tires, including some tires from like a 30s model Ford V8. So, you know, they had bought the house just a month ago. There's a lot of things in the house, and especially in the garage, that aren't even theirs, you know, left over. So, you know, there was a bolt cutters there, you know, such as a person might have. There was, you know, just a whole lot of stuff in the garage. So they were loading this up. They had already loaded up a couple of, like, foam pads that somebody might sleep on or put under a sleeping bag. You know, really dangerous stuff.
These situations involved them going to people's private residences. In one case, it was a private residence of a long, very long-time activist here who was allowing 12 journalists to stay in his home. He owns a large home, it's a duplex, and he was letting these journalists stay in his duplex. And they came to the home without a warrant, and locked down the home. They had cops surrounding the home with M16 rifles. I saw this with my own eyes and documented it. They were surrounding the home and waiting. They had these people in, like, house arrest, and they rounded up these activists, which included people with Democracy Now!, Eyewitness Video, and other independent media.
That's right, a producer with WRIR's excellent 8 a.m. program, Democracy Now!, was caught up in this house raid with a militarized police force. This is her talking about the experience later in the evening.
Around 1 p.m., a team of about 20 or so St. Paul police officers came to the house and surrounded it. A couple of our people, including Sarah Coffey, was outside. She was immediately handcuffed, and we were inside. They did not have a warrant, so we stayed inside the house for several hours, and then around 3:30 they showed up with a warrant to come in the house. But the warrant was for 951 Eagle Heart, and we were in like a duplex apartment, so we were in 949, so we actually didn't let them in, but they entered through 951. Detained everyone in that apartment, including the owner of the building, and then broke into 949 through the attic. Came in with a pistol drawn. I was pointing my video camera back, and then they said, St. Paul Police, put your hands on your head, and then we were all detained for the next several hours.
They tore up the home, searched it stem to stern, did not take a single item out of the home. You know, this is falling right on the heels of them stopping three independent journalists earlier in the week, I think it was Wednesday, and seizing all their camera equipment, seizing their notebooks and their, you know, recordings, and actually exposing their tape and exposing their photographs that they had taken so that all of their work product was destroyed.
This, of course, is another classic police state tactic, and Michelle says that this is not the first time there had been targeted suppression of journalists, independent media, and cop watchers in the Twin Cities area.
They got our vice president and beat him savagely while he was cop watching. I mean, put him in the hospital, you know, and then charged him with a series of bogus charges, including obstructing the sidewalk. And so we knew then that it was kind of on, you know, that they had their plans in place, that they were going to be coming after people that document their conduct. And so they started with that. They started messing with me. They started, then they seized those, you know, there were other people that were documenting their behavior that they messed with. They, including, immigrant rights activists. Then they seized these three journalists that they knew were journalists. Like, these people had trespasses, and stopped them, seizing their cameras and so forth, and detaining them for a lengthy period. Then, you know, then they did this raid in these people's homes. They've done other things to mess with journalists. I do definitely think that it is a concerted effort to prevent the documentation of what they're doing. Amy Goodman was out there at that house raid trying to question the police, and they were shoving her. You know, this is someone with truly national stature. People know who Amy Goodman is.
So there you go, folks. Raids, militarized police, snatch and grabs, illegal break-ins, intimidations, beatings, the integration of federal forces into local police forces. If you're still living in America the Free, well, you're living in a different country than I am. And what was the outcome of all this? Did the police manage to dampen the mood of the activist community in the Twin Cities?
Not only has it not dampened the mood of the activist community, but it's pissed off a lot of regular people. There's a lot of people coming forward. You know, when we were at that raid at Eagle Heart where they were targeting those journalists, people from the neighborhood came running out. They had you know, pitchers of water, because it's pretty hot here right now. They were running around with pitchers of ice water. The woman that lived next door to the house said, this is a good neighbor. He's been a great neighbor for 10 years. And she invited all the journalists to come into the backyard so that they could photograph the cops and what they were doing. You know, these people did not like this at all. They were out there denouncing it. You know, there's widespread denunciation of the police conduct in the media, even. You know, not so much the mainstream media, because of course they parrot anything that the stupid cops tell them, you know, but I can tell you that from the perspective of the community, and in blogs and on the email lists and things like that, people are really outraged. So it's completely backfired on the cops. Not only are people more inclined to be out, but even ordinary people are getting furious.
I hope you are one of those ordinary people getting furious. Yesterday, the National Guard marched through the center of Minneapolis, reminiscent of the old Soviet May Day parades. There have been 250 arrests since I spoke with Michelle, and prosecutors are upgrading normally misdemeanor offenses to felonies, attempting to make those who dissent to the current system and its policies second-class citizens. I want to thank the uptake.org and its reporters for making possible much of the on-site audio that was broadcasted here today. You can see corresponding videos at the website. That's theuptake.org. I'm going to leave you today with someone who is indeed furious, but certainly inspiring. Here's Alex Jones from Waking Life. Thanks for listening to Weekly Sedition, and thanks for listening to WRIR, Richmond's independent radio.
You can't fight City Hall. Death and taxes. Don't talk about enemy propaganda rolling across the picket line. Lay down, G.I., lay down, G.I. We saw it all through the 20th century, and now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with what's happening in this world. I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control, those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more. I want freedom. That's what I want, and that's what you should want. It's up to each and every one of us to turn loose of just some of the greed, the hatred, the envy, and yes, the insecurities, because that is the central mode of control. Make us feel pathetic, small, so we'll willingly give up our sovereignty, our liberty, our destiny. We have got to realize that we're being conditioned on a mass scale. Start challenging this corporate slave state. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery, not the century of lies and issues of no significance and classism and statism and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure and something right. What a bunch of garbage, liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you, two sides of the same coin. Two management teams bidding for control, the CEO job of Slavery Incorporated. The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me? Resistance is not futile. We're going to win this thing. Humankind is too good. We're not a bunch of underachievers. We're going to stand up, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get fired up about the real things, the things that matter, creativity, and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit. Well, that's it. That's all I got to say. It's in your court.